My name is Eric Bowe, and welcome to the Primal Shopper Podcast. This podcast is for marketers, entrepreneurs, and academics interested in understanding why we shop the way we do. My goal is to focus on the primal motivations driving our behaviors and how to apply these learnings to improve your marketing. Don't worry about taking notes. I will include any links in the show notes. Also, there is plenty of bonus content on primalshopper.com. And finally, in the next month or so, my book should be available for purchase, and it will get into a lot of these topics in far more depth. So with that said, let's get on with the episode. This episode is about, well, what I'm titling it, the Super Bowl aftermath. There's been a lot written in the past week or so on Super Bowl commercials. Mainly it's centered around what people liked and what they didn't like. What really hasn't been written about, though, is the impact of these ads on the brand's business. That's the subject of this podcast. We're going to talk about breaking through the marketing white noise using the Super Bowl commercials as examples. Some broke through, some honestly were just white noise. In this episode, I will cover the two different mindsets that create movement in the marketplace. I'll discuss which ads moved and those which honestly were white noise. And I'll wrap up the episode talking about the five types of ads or campaigns that truly are breakthrough. Okay, it's been over a week. How many commercials do you remember from the Super Bowl? It would be an interesting exercise just to sit down and see how many you can write. For the sake of my argument, how many do you think you would come up with? Under 10? 10 to 20? More than 20? Keep in mind, there were 58 national commercials that ran in the Super Bowl. Look, you're in marketing, honestly, you should be able to come up with many. Many more than probably the average consumer would. But how many would they actually write down if you asked them to? Probably under 10. The interesting part is in our industry, we have a tendency of really determining successful Super Bowl ads based on popularity. For example, USA Today does an ad meter every year, and the top five ads were NFL's 100-year game, Amazon Alexa, Not Everything Makes the Cut, Microsoft, We All Win. In fourth place, Hyundai, the elevator. And finally, the fifth one was Verizon, the coach who wouldn't be here. Now, I'm just giving you the title of the ads. How many of these ads do you actually remember? But there's a bigger picture question here. Is the goal to do well in the post-Super Bowl viewer ratings or to drive business results? Common business sense would say that it's business results. Look, you're dropping $5 million on a 30-second ad, and that doesn't include the production and the talent costs around it. And think about if you're T-Mobile, they ran four ads, so you're looking at $20 million worth of ad costs, plus the production to create it and everything else. The funny part is, while it makes common sense that you're looking for business results, the reality is a little different. Many clients' reaction may surprise you. It tends to be egocentric, tends to be more of a me-too attitude. They're in the big game because they feel they need to be. They're not really looking to drive business results necessarily as their primary reason. Regardless of whether they were in it for the ego or in it for business results, I really want to take a look at these ads relative to their ability to move people in the marketplace. And I brought this up at the beginning of the episode. There's two different mindsets you're trying to move. One is the general consumer mindset, or move people attitudinally to make you think different about your brand. And the second is the shopper mindset and moving them towards purchase. Many times to think about these mindsets is that move the person attitudinally means interrupt. You really want to sort of shock them or get them to think differently about your brand. Moving the shopper, though, is more about intercept. People who are in market, how do I use my ads? How do I use my campaign to actually win the war and be the one that they finally purchase? If you plot these two mindsets on a matrix, you get a really interesting way of evaluating commercials. Let me illustrate this. On the x-axis, let's put the move the mind. It's moving them attitudinally. And on the y-axis is moving the shopper mindset or moving them behaviorally to purchase your product. So let's walk through each one of these quadrants. The bottom left quadrant is white noise. And I refer to it as because, of very simply, you didn't move the mind or you didn't move the shopper behaviorally. I would argue too many commercials ended up here in the Super Bowl, and many of the commercials were just fodder for those playing Super Bowl bingo. Now, if you go to the bottom right, it's what I call catchphrase, meaning you move the mind, but you didn't move the shopper behaviorally. You really catchphrase, what comes to mind is the Bud Light Dilly Dilly campaign and the Pepsi OK campaign. And I'll talk a little bit more about the Bud Light campaign here because it's really interesting what they did this year with the corn syrup. If you go to the top left, this means I didn't move the mind, but I am moving the shopper behaviorally. A lot of this gets into industry jargon.
An example of this is the mobile category, and in the Super Bowl, there were four different brands that had commercials.
They represent the same old stuff, and they assume everybody understands their category. So they'll talk about 4LTE, 5G, different types of phones, and they assume everybody's doing it. And in the end, probably the number one thing that's moving people is the price. And we'll talk about that a little bit too. Finally, the top right quadrant is the breakthrough quadrant. I think there's some ads that were breakthrough, not many. It's probably a little bit too early to declare them as breakthrough because key to this is it actually drove revenue. It actually drove shoppers to purchase. However, several ads I do think have the possibility of doing this based on their current brand situation. So let's talk about a few of these ads. While I could talk about every commercial, it would make for a pretty long podcast. Don't know if you want to listen to that. What I did is I selected four different product categories and looked at multiple ads within those categories, just started to get an idea of, well, how does this movement matrix work and how do I think they actually did? The first category is home security. In here, you had ADT and SimpliSafe. ADT used the Property Brothers from HGTV in their ad. Now, that's probably the only thing you're going to remember from it because the rest of their ad really was your typical home security visuals and language. SimpliSafe tried to do something a little different. They did, the title of the ad was Fear is Everywhere. And they had everything from robots to different fears that you have in this everyday world. And it resolves into the fact that home is where you should feel safe. From my perspective, both of these commercials lacked a strong emotive connection. Look, you're talking about Maslow's second level of the hierarchy. You're talking about safety. You're talking about fear. And that's what both of these ads really missed was fear advertising. A classic example of fear advertising is GM's OnStar. For years, they advertised somebody getting in a wreck or getting stuck in a ditch, and the OnStar agent was the hero that was by their side until help arrived. Interesting enough, OnStar got away from this for several years, and now they're actually back to the fear advertising because they know it works. As far as ADT goes, I would just consider it white noise. And if it wasn't for the Property Brothers, I don't think you would even remember the commercial existed. SimpliSafe, they try to do something with it more. They try to move the mind. They try to get more into that catchphrase territory. However, the fears they are trying to create were not that relatable, like a robot sitting on bleachers at a football game. Doesn't really happen, at least not around here in Detroit. The opportunity would have been more to go towards the OnStar route and create that fear where they are the hero. The brand needs to be the hero if you're going to play the safety game, and I don't feel either one of these two brands did this well, and therefore I would consider both ads white noise. Another category I looked at was the mobile category. You have four different marketers in this. You have Mint Mobile, Verizon, Sprint, and T-Mobile. Let's talk about Mint Mobile first. I will tell you, they were a catchphrase. And if you don't remember the ad, it was the ad with the family with the chunky milk. Unfortunately, that catchphrase was not a positive one. You could argue it was shocking, but they're shocking to get your attention and shocking disgusting. And this was shocking disgusting. And I want to come back to this ad in a second because Sprint, I felt, also failed on this too. Sprint did their ad with Bo Jackson, a mermaid, and a lot of other strange things that were just in the ad. Like Mint Mobile, it was a noticeable ad, but really, what was the brand saying? Interesting about both of these were the value proposition at the end of the ad. Mint Mobile is about $20 a month, which is a pretty good offer within the mobile category, especially when you consider a lot of people do not like paying their cellular bill and are always looking for a better option to cut that cost on a monthly basis. Sprint's key message was, if you switch to Sprint from AT&T or Verizon, you can save up to $1,000 a year. Again, it got lost because it's on the tail end of the commercial, and it's almost like they're spending too much time trying to get people's attention and not enough time hitting that value proposition home. I do think if both of these brands focused on their core value proposition, they had the opportunity of becoming breakthrough. The $20 a month or saving $1,000 truly would get people's attention if it didn't get lost in the ad. The two other ones in this category were Verizon and T-Mobile. Let's talk about Verizon first. Verizon did some wonderful ads about the first responders. The ads were really well done. The ads got your attention. The ads created emotion. Definitely towards that move the mind phase, the catchphrase phase. I really wondered, though, how much credit Verizon got within these because it didn't have anything really to do with their product. It was a tribute, and there's nothing wrong with a tribute, but did it build the brand? Did it drive business? T-Mobile was interesting because I think T-Mobile tried a lot of things and got lost. They have four different ads. Each ad, if you don't recall them, you serve this texting format of people texting back and forth, trying to create a value proposition for different things. And one was about free tacos on Tuesday. Another one was an association with Lyft and the like. Honestly, I don't even remember them, and I saw all ads multiple times, which makes you wonder, what were they trying to get across, and did they really move anybody, either moving their mind or moving the shopper behaviorally? The next category I like to talk about is food. I picked three brands out here, Pringles, Devour, and Bubbly. Pringles did a Stackables ad, which they've been sort of doing this for a while, where they would just take different Pringles, and stack them up to create different flavors. Not a bad idea. It's, you know, sort of a different way of using their product, but I think there's a bigger idea here. This idea of stackables is an alternative way to use their product, and giving them names or giving them different combinations allows more reuse or more usage of the product in different manners. So why don't they package it that way? Why don't they combine these either in a tin? Might ruin the flavor, but maybe you put multiple tins together. Maybe you do recipes, stuff like that. I find it very interesting when I go into Kroger, they still have all the Pringles separated, but what if you could actually look at packaging in a way to combine the stackable idea to create something bigger, and obviously you're going to get more product usage out of it. Devour is the next one I like to talk about, and the Devour ads were bottom line food porn, and it had a guy who was just, I don't know, getting into his food, for lack of a better word. This ad definitely moved the mind. It got your attention. I could see some people not liking it. I could see some people thinking it was very funny, but was it breakthrough? Maybe. Time will tell. I mean, not many people, at least I didn't know of Devour until I saw that ad. And if that ad equated to sales or the campaign created to sales, then you're looking at something that is truly breakthrough for Devour. Last in the food category is Bubbly. Bubbly's ad featured Michael Bublé, and the whole commercial centered around the pronunciation of Bubbly versus Bublé. They must have said it about 15, 20 times. Now, similar to Devour, I don't know what Bubbly's name recognition was, but what the interesting thing is by using that ad, it definitely got the name recognition across from a brand perspective, and if you're building awareness or launching a product, perfect way to do it. I don't know if it was coincidence or not, but I did see an ad last week also from Target really pushing Bubbly. So maybe there was a combination of the Super Bowl ad with some retail promotion, which is a wonderful way of doing it to drive breakthrough. The last category I want to talk about is really the three Bud brands. So not really category as much as an Uber brand. They had three ads in the Super Bowl. Bud Light had the corn syrup ads plus the Game of Thrones mashup. Budweiser had Wind Power. And Michelob Ultra had two different ads. One was for ASMR, which I'll talk about in a second, and the other's for a robot who couldn't drink Michelob Ultra for whatever that's worth. Bud Light, let's start with that one. Bud Light and the corn syrup stuff is interesting because I think it struck a chord and they needed to. And let me explain this. If you look at their 2018 sales, Bud Light dropped 5.5% per IRI. Now, they've been using the Dilly Dilly campaign for well over a year. And if that campaign is not getting you from catchphrase to breakthrough, you need to try something different. You need to change the messaging or switch the campaign. So I give them credit. Trying to use the corn syrup to break through was smart. I don't know if it's going to work, though. I'm a bit of a beer snob, so when it comes to beer, I tend to maybe know a little bit too much. And what I really wonder about is Coors Light, Miller Light, and Bud Light are sort of like brand badges people have. And I really wonder if they really care if it's corn syrup or rice, in the case of Bud Light, because they've been drinking the beer for years, they like it, and they're probably not going to switch just because, oh my God, it has corn syrup in it. Now, if there are people rotating between those three brands, maybe in that case, the corn syrup could influence them to drink more Bud Light than the other alternatives that have the corn syrup in. Time will tell. Budweiser's ad was really made for Super Bowl commercial bingo. They had the horses, they had the dog, and they had Wind Power, which is probably not on anybody's card. It was a nice ad, talking about how they use Wind Power and they're eco-friendly. But like Verizon, I really wonder if they got credit for it, and if so, did it really matter? And this is a big deal for Budweiser, because Budweiser also, their sales are going down too, to a point that, believe it or not, Michelob Ultra has passed them as the second brand within the Budweiser family. This surprised me. I knew Michelob Ultra was doing well, but I didn't think they passed Budweiser. Now, what is Michelob Ultra doing right? Well, first of all, they're really tying into a nice emotional connection with people working out as a premium beer. These ads over the past year helped Michelob Ultra grow by about 15.9% per IRI, and their Super Bowl ads this year is trying to pick up where the others left off. Now, the first one, I don't know if it did anything. It was people working out with a robot, and in the end, the robot's sad, or at least you think he's sad because he couldn't drink Michelob Ultra at a bar with the rest of the people that were running. I don't know, the whole robot thing was creepy, but that's probably something for another day. The other ad was for ASMR, or used ASMR, excuse me. For those that don't know, ASMR stands for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. It's a calming, pleasurable feeling that often accompanies with tingling sensation. The tingle originates in the head and goes throughout the body. Different things trigger ASMR, and it varies by person. Sometimes it's whispering, white noise, lip smacking, amongst other things. The Michelob Ultra ad used this ASMR to get people's attention by focusing on the sounds that the actress made in the ad, either tapping on the ad, spinning the bottle, using different surround sound techniques, whispering. It was interesting. It's kudos to Michelob Ultra for really using a trend like ASMR to maintain the brand's premium nature. Now the question is, does this type of ad help build upon what was happening last year and help to keep their growth going into 2019? Well, that has yet to be determined. I do think, though, the ASMR ad has the possibility of being breakthrough. Honestly, I also think the Bud Light Corn Syrup one does too. I have my doubts, like I stated prior, but it could be breakthrough if the corn syrup really works to their benefit in getting sales from Miller Lite and from Coors Light. So that's a brief perspective of really how to take a look at the movement matrix, how to move people's mind or disrupt their mind to think differently about your brand, and how to move the shopper's mind to get them to buy your product. To conclude this podcast, I sort of want to talk about breakthrough a little more and the five different ways a commercial or campaign can break through. And each one of these, I'll give a few examples. Some are within the Super Bowl, some actually are a little bit older. The first way is really through a startling price promise. This promise usually gets people's attention, and it also, and obviously, would probably move somebody to purchase the product. An example of this is about over a decade old now. It's GM's employee pricing. And if you don't remember it, GM changed the way pricing was done in the course of a summer by offering employee pricing to everybody, not just to their employees. Soon after, Ford and Chrysler followed, which created an industry precedent on helping spur the economy along. Ironically, since that time, employee pricing has been used by so many brands, it has become white noise in and of itself. So while it was used the first time with General Motors, and it was a startling price promise, it has become white noise within the category, so offering employee pricing is pretty much meaningless at this point. Another way to do it is innovative product benefit. And I do think the Google 100 billion words ad within the Super Bowl was a great way of showing this idea off. And in the ad, if you don't remember, they're showing people in foreign countries and using Google Translate to help them with signs, help them talk to others. And in the end, they talked about the top phrases used, which were thank you, good morning, and probably screwing this up, and I love you, something like along those lines. I like this a lot because many times brands try to be overly clever instead of using real situations like Google did here, and I thought it brought it home in a very relevant way. Another breakthrough way is a profounding branding shift, really moving your brand from one point to a point where it's breakthrough and more relevant. Arby's We Have the Meats is a great example of this. They were floundering as a restaurant, they lacked identity, and they embraced the meat. And from there on, they have set same store sales, they've been moving, they are differentiated. It's not only a catchphrase, but it also led to people buying their product. What I also like about this campaign, it's about innovation too. So they keep going with We Have the Meats, and they keep innovating with different style sandwiches. And they've gone away from that classical, you know, Arby roast beef to a lot more different types of sandwiches, which makes them more relevant to a lot more people. But at the center of it, it's always that they have the meats. A fourth breakthrough way is a brand action. Being a behavioralist, I really like brand actions the best because if a brand acts a certain way, that defines who they are. It's better than any rhetoric, any slogan, any campaign you can do. A brand action is far more meaningful than anything else. One I like to refer to is in 2014 when CVS refused to carry tobacco. It might seem like nothing now, but back then it was a big deal. And they had calculated how many millions upon millions of dollars they would lose by not actually selling it. But what they said is if we're going to be about health, we're going to be about this healthy mindset, we can't be selling tobacco anymore. And that brand action alone reinforced their campaign far more than any other ad could ever do. The final breakthrough way I'd like to talk about is redefining shopping. Hyundai actually tried to do this a little bit for cars and the elevator ad with Jason Bateman. I thought the ad was very funny. It definitely moved the mind. However, what it did not do is really clearly explain in an emotive way why Hyundai Assurance is a better approach. And this is a big deal because you're not just talking about Hyundai's competition in the OEM market, like the Fords, the Toyotas, and the like. You're also talking about car gurus. You're talking about cars.com and other people who are redefining the auto buying experience. That, the commercial, I don't think did effectively, where if it did, it could have been breakthrough. It really could have been. I'd like to bring up a recent ad that I thought did a nice job of breakthrough within redefining shopping, and that's the Walmart car ad. If you're unfamiliar with this, the ad had many famous cars coming up to Walmart and picking up groceries. In fact, it was amazing how many cars they actually got in this ad. It had to be expensive to do just from a rights perspective. Where else would you have the Scooby-Doo van combined with a Batmobile, combined with Kit, the car, the vehicle from Back to the Future, on and on and on. What I like about this is that they didn't really redefine shopping, but they brought something to light that they've been doing for a while, and that's grocery pickup. If you looked online, a lot of the responses from people were they were unaware of the grocery pickup. Having worked in the grocery category, I knew that grocery pickup existed for a while. However, I was somewhat surprised by the response from this ad that many people still were not aware that you could pick up groceries. So from a Walmart perspective, it's a nice tactic, very demonstrative using all these vehicles. And in a way, it was a Super Bowl ad that didn't air in the Super Bowl. So just to recap the five different ways to make a commercial or campaign breakthrough, startling price promise is the first one. Innovative product benefit, profound branding shift, breakthrough brand action, and then redefining shopping. Well, that wraps up this episode. First off, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, I encourage you to subscribe to future podcasts on primalshopper.com. Also, Primal Shopper is now available on iTunes and other podcasting platforms, so check your platform. Most likely, you're going to find Primal Shopper on it. And last but not least, if you are looking to apply Primal Shopper to your marketing, I'd be happy to help you out, whether it's just answering questions or a full engagement. My contact information can be found on primalshopper.com. Well, that's it for now. Until next time, this is Eric.